5. Yud Tes Kislev, Monday the 19th of December, Rabbi David Kaplan, The Cost of Anger.
Good morning. So, you know, they say life is full of surprises. And one of the surprises is last night when I was looking over my notes, I realized that I gave the shiur, The Cost of Anger, here already 5 years ago. So I'm sure everybody remembers every word that we said. So I decided that at risk of your anger, I'm going to switch because I don't want to give the same shiur again. It's interesting that I've never been in London in winter. Yeah, I've always been here in summer. So I know that in summer the Zamanim are somewhat different than Eretz Yisrael, but in winter, this is the first time I've actually been here, and so I got in on Thursday afternoon. I already gave two shiurim, and I was exhausted Thursday night, and I was able to call home the next morning. I told my wife she should be so proud. I davened Nates the next morning, regardless of how tired I was. I was just so impressed. The first time davened Nates in years, and it was the Nates meeting. It was actually later than the meeting I go to in Eretz Yisrael in the morning. So one of the small benefits of life. This morning I was walking down Princess Park Avenue, and I knew that I'd make the first right. But every time I make the right, I always have it on the east side. I don't remember the shul's the first block or the second block. And I just kind of look down into the horizon. Everything is dark. And I see this glow coming out of the shul here. And so I've decided that instead of the Torah way, we're going to from now on call the Torah rays. Right? Because that was the glow. In any event, in Parshas Vayeshev, there's a few interesting points that come out of the parsha. I don't like Vertlach, I like fundamentals. And I saw Reb Matisyahu Solomon Shlita, he says that if you take a look at the beginning of the parsha begins, it's almost what we would call a comedy of errors. Yosef makes a mistake in what the brothers were doing, and therefore he snitches on them, he tattletales on them. Yaakov Avinu makes a mistake in giving Yosef the Ksonas Pasim, in favoring him. The brothers make a mistake thinking that the Ksonas Pasim is because he tattletaled on them. Yosef makes a mistake in telling the brothers the dreams, which only provokes and antagonizes them. Yaakov makes another mistake and sends Yosef off alone to go see how the brothers are doing. One mistake after the other mistake after the other mistake, and what ends up happening? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan comes about. So Matisyahu writes in his Sefer, I think Matnas Chaim. I was going to say Matnas Chinam. I didn't remember Matnas Chaim. In Matnas Chaim, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see the Hashgacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan is going to come out one way or another. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan is going to come to fruition. One way or another, it's going to come out. It could be that there mistakes were made. The mistakes were made, Beseder. But one way or another, the mistakes are going to lead to the ultimate plan, where Yosef becomes Hu HaSholid. Yosef is the ruler, and he is the one who's Mefarnes the family. Number one. Number two, the whole source of the brothers' envy comes from the Ksonas Pasim. The Ksonas Pasim irritates them. You even see later on when they come, the first thing they do is they remove that Ksonas Pasim. Get that thing off. That thing has been sitting in the front of their face and is irritating them terribly. Rashi says, why is it called a Ksonas Pasim? So Rashi says something, how quaint. You know why it's called Pasim? Rashi says what the material is. Then he says, Umedrish Agoda al Shem Tsarosov. Shanim kar lipotifar, that's the pay. Lesochorim, Zasamach. La Yishma'elim, the Yishma'elim. Vela Midyanim. Right? How quaint. The Medrash, father gives his son, his favorite son, here, I want to give you a son as Pasim. Have some Tsaros. Right? Well, that doesn't make any sense. What does that mean? What does that mean? Like, can you imagine a husband giving his wife a little guidebook on how to clean the dishes efficiently? What kind of gift is that? You're telling me what I'm going to have, what I'm going to go through over here? What kind of gift is that? So the Mefarshim say, again, another tremendous lesson over here. The brothers of Mekane Yosef, what's Rashi telling us? If you knew what the Ksonas Pasim is going to lead to, you're going to go through a Potiphar. You're going to go through Yishvaim, Sochar, Midyanim. You're going to go through that. Would you be jealous if you knew in advance what the person is going to go through? Sometimes the life of a person is Mekana. And by the way, just so we could tie this into Kas, the Mefarshim say, Kina is our Kas kaviyochol against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not happy with the way he's running the world. That's what kina is. Kina means I'm not happy. I resent the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world because I really want what Yenim has. That's what kina is. The ketzonis pasim, if the brother's doing advance, what that ketzonis pasim is going to lead to? Would they be so jealous? And the life lesson obviously is that when a person sees somebody else has whatever somebody else is, whatever the bracha somebody else has, and sometimes we isolate and say, well, I wish I had that. Do you want the entire life that this person had? Do you want everything this person had? You're taking one, it's an unfair measure. Somebody says, wow, he's got such a mazel, the guy won the lottery, the guy did well, got a promotion. Do you want that? You can't have one little piece. You want his whole life? You want to see what he went through? I guarantee you're not going to want it. It's irrational to pick one point and be mekana on one point, number one. You know, they tell this story about the woman who's sitting on a plane. Sitting on a plane, there's a woman sitting next to her. The woman sitting next to her has a beautiful diamond. Beautiful, huge diamond. Yeah. And she looks at this, she says to her, wow, that's a really nice diamond. That's a really nice diamond. She says, yes, it is a nice diamond, a very expensive diamond. The woman is like, whoa, yeah, that's... And she says, yes, this is the famous Plotnik diamond. She says, really? She says, what's that? She says, well, it's the Plotnik diamond, but it comes with a curse. A curse? What's the curse? She says, Mr. Plotnik. So, you know, so sometimes in life, you know, you see, you take a look, you know, oh, he's got this, a guy, yeah. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know what the curses are. That's what the Torah says. Now, in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chof Hei, this is a question everybody has, but I think there's a spin on this. One shot, I think you probably are, you know, there's another shot, perhaps not. In Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chof Hei, the Torah says, Vayeshu lecho lechem, vayusu einem, vayuri ne orchas yishmayim ba migilod, ugmaleim nosim nechos, utzri volot, holchim lori mitzrayim. A bunch of Yishmaelim, a caravan of Yishmaelim, and the Yishmaelim are carrying these various incense, spices, and good fragrances. So again, Rashi says over here, and it's a Pella, we see this every year, we have the same Pella. Rashi says that the Yishma'ilim normally, Lama Pirse Makosuves Masom. Why did the Torah tell us that? Insignificant detail. What were the Yishma'ili kidnappers, salesmen, what were they carrying? Says Rashi, Lo Dia Matan Schor Shal Tzadikim, let you know the Schar of the Tzadikim. Shein Darkon Shal Arvim Lo Seisel Aneft, the Itron Shreichan Ra, some sort of, what is it, a crude oil or tar, whatever it is, it smells horrible. He shouldn't be harmed from the bad smell, from an unpleasant odor. Now, honestly, if you look at the Midrashim, Yosef was not only being sold, he was being beaten. He was being kidnapped. He's being ripped away from his family. He doesn't know if he's going to. He doesn't know if he's going to be ever come back. He doesn't know if he's going to live. He's going to go into Avdus Chazal say to be an Eved. He has all the Yisurim are being an Eved. Who knows what's happening to him? So he gets into the wagon, a caravan of Yishmaelim, and what a beautiful day for a kidnapping. You know, what a pleasant ride. You know, do they have kosher meals too? This is what you're thinking about. You're being taken to who knows where, being beaten and crying. Says he was crying at Kevin Rachel on the way. That's what's on your mind right now because it smells good. Because the wagon, they have one of those things hanging from the rearview mirror. You know, one of those car deodorizers. You know, so it smells like strawberries. While you're being kidnapped, I guarantee you, Yosef would have much rather been in a bad smelling wagon on the way home than in a good smelling wagon on the way to Mitzrayim, wherever he's being killed. What's Chazal telling us? So the plain meaning, most before, I think the Stipler or Reb Chaim Shulevitz says, the pshat is, obviously, that Yisurim are precisely measured. And if a person is meant to suffer Chas V'Shalom in a certain way, so a person has this aggravation, he has this sorrow, whatever it is, Yosef has to be kidnapped, he has to be beaten, he has to be sold. But there's no gzera on him that he should suffer a bad smell. That's a much deeper idea over here, obviously, at the neshama level. But a person has it, there's a gzera. This is what he's meant to go through, and not an iota more. Again, the precision of Hashgacha. The whole parsha is a parsha of Hashgacha. The precision of Hashgacha is this much, but not more. That's idea number one. Yosef is meant to get beaten. He's meant to be sold. But you're not meant to suffer the unpleasant smell. You're not going to go through that. In life, if a person has a situation where they're aggravated or something is going wrong, it's not going to be, we sometimes think that it's just like this storm of Yisurim that comes, or this storm of aggravation, or storm of confusion. It doesn't work that way. Every drop in the storm is measured precisely by the Ribbono Shel Olam. A person's not going to get one iota more than he's supposed to get, nor one iota less. And therefore, Yosef, you're meant to get A, B, and C, but not D, which is a bad spell. That's the first approach of a fortune news here, but there's another idea. The other idea is that there are certain times where a person feels, you know, they're in Eretz Yisrael, there was a young man went to the Kaisel. I think he had a yahrzeit, and he went to the Kaisel, and he had to get a minion together. Sometimes it's not so easy to get a minion together. It takes a few minutes till you get a minion together, at center, at center, at center, then at center, mamish. Right, till you finally get a minion. I was at the airport, I thought of that, because I hear that, you know, they always call, okay, last call. They say last call several times. And then she says, final and last call. Right, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I wanted to actually find the voice behind this thing. I don't know if there's a real person there. And in fact, why did you say final and last? And why did you say it several times? It's a stira mine ube, right? And then I realized we do it all the time. At center, at center. You understand? At center, at center. Then when you got nine people, say, at center, mamish, right? Then you say, at center, mamish. Okay, so you got to go to the Kaisel, and you got to get a group together. It takes time. The young man works, 20 minutes, he gets a group. Just then, an elderly man comes over. And he says to him, listen, I have a yahrzeit. Yeah, mind if I could I be the shliach for you a minute? I just gathered this minion together. I just got this minion together. He says, hey, mind, but I really need a yahrzeit. He says, okay, listen, you know, what I want to be a shliach tzibur, so I should have the zechus for the ilui neshama. Also, chesed is also zechus. So he steps aside, he lets him be the shliach tzibur, then he goes in another 20 minutes. Davids for the yomid for his minion, finally puts him in the minion, finishes his minion. And as he gets to the, he goes, he has to leave, and he's in a hurry. He's running late already. As he gets to the bus stop, the bus pulls away. Just as he gets to the bus pulls away. Oh, this is, I gave up the minion. Now the bus, just missed the bus. Had I dived in the early minion, I'd be already on the bus. The bus that pulled away was the number two bus that blew up in Eretz Yisrael. I missed the number two bus. Sometimes a person wonders, you know, got the hashgachah, you know, remember the number two bus that there were 20 casualties, something like that. Sometimes a person feels, why is this happening to me? Yosef Atzadik, in his situation, could you imagine Yosef wondering, Kaylee, Lama Azav Tani, where are you? What's happening over here? I'm being kidnapped. I'm being taken away. What's happening to me? Why am I going through this? Person goes through something in life. Imagine, man's on the way to a chasna. Just imagine, man's on the way to a chasna. He's wearing his nicest suit. He's all dressed. And as he's on the way to a chasna, all of a sudden, bumpity bump, he gets a flat tire. Gets out of his car. And as he gets out of his car, it starts raining on him. Bends down to fix the flat tire. All of a sudden, he hears a rip. Something ripped. Right? Okay. From one sorrow to the next. Goes, starts fixing the flat tire. And the next thing you know, he gets some grease on his new suit. He just ruined the suit. Right? It's going from bad to worse. But he left his car door open. And he left the radio on. And while all this is happening, his favorite niggin comes on the radio. Right? While all this is happening, all of a sudden, something breaks the pattern over here. Something completely out of line. Something breaks the pattern. Wife says to the husband, you know, says that his mother-in-law is coming for a visit. Yes. Well, it's an extended visit. Right? Going from bad to worse. Right? Then the mother-in-law shows up with big suitcases. She says, hi, I enjoyed so much here. Instead of 2 weeks, I'm staying for four. Things are going from bad. And then she pulls out and says, but for you, my dear son-in-law, I brought this beautiful Swiss chocolate bar, his favorite. Something broke the pattern over here. Something broke the pattern. You know what that means? Yosef HaTzadik is in that situation, going from bad to worse, and all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, he's getting beaten, kidnapped. All of a sudden, that's strange. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reminder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing a reminder over here. You know what? I haven't abandoned you. I haven't abandoned you. I'm with you. The Hashgacha. Why is it happening? That you're going to find out why it's happening. But don't think that it's random and haphazard and it's coming flying at you from all directions. I'm coming at you, I'm giving you what I'm giving you, the Yisurim, because you need them right now, I have a plan. And I want you to be reminded that there is a hashgacha that goes with it. I heard about a young lady, in Shidduchim. That's where you see all that, that's where you see tremendous hashgacha is in Shidduchim. My daughter got married. How did the Shidduch happen? A lady called her up on the phone to find out about one of her friends. My daughter was speaking to her on the phone. The lady said, I like what she sounds like. So she got interested in my daughter. Just after she answered the phone, I'm for somebody else's Shidduch. I told my kids, Shidduchim, even the Brisker Rav said, Shidduchim. Brisker Rav said, Ishtadlus doesn't help. Ishtadlus doesn't help. People like to make calls and do things because they feel I got to be doing something. You make a cheshbon, where shidduchim come from? Shidduchim always come from left field. They come usually 99 times out of 100. They come from somewhere completely and utterly unexpected. That generally does it. That's the ultimate hashgacha. Young lady was in shidduchim. She says to her father, listen, I'm a young man. I'm learning this, that, the other, but no payas. No payas, I don't want payas. Whatever reason she didn't want, you know, everybody's got their thing. I don't want him to have payas, not behind the ears, not in front of ears, no payas. Okay, finally check out a bocher. Goes out with the bocher. Wonderful, bocher doesn't have payas. Couple gets engaged. They meet, terrific. 3 months later, they get to the bedekin. He comes over, he's got payas. And the girl's like, so she was smart enough to realize, you know, don't talk about it now. But sometime during Sheva Brachas week, she said, you know, Herschel, because he never said no. He never said no. She never even asked him. She saw a bucket without payas. At some point during the Sheva Brachas, she said to me, Herschel, you know, I thought you didn't have payas. He goes, oh, yeah. Oh, I never tell you the funniest story. You're not going to believe it. The night before where he had our first meeting, I went to the barber, right? And the barber made a mistake. I had payas, and the barber cut off my payas by accident. He messed up the right ones. I said, take off the left ones. I've been letting there. Isn't that hilarious? She didn't think it was so funny. But you see, you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to happen. That's the Hashgacha. Yosef's in that matzav. He's in the matzav, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yosef HaTzadik, don't think I abandoned you. Here's a little shmek of Hashgacha to show you that everything is planned out. Now, I'll show you something amazing. Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chof Vav. The next, the very next pasuk, Torah says, "Vayomer Yehuda el Echav ma betza ki narog esachenu v'chisinu esdamo lechuvenim kerenu la yishma elim." Let's sell them to the yishma elim. V'yodenu al tivok yachinu v'sreinu v'yishma echav. Bothered me. Why dafka yishma elim? You ever got enough trouble in life? You got to be kidnapped. You got to be kidnapped by yishma elim dafka. I mean, dafka that. You know, that. And then we understand why Rashi says what a nace the good smelling fragrances. Yeah, can you imagine? That's what you got. You dafka yishma elim. So I thought to myself like this: What was Yosef's aveira over here? Yosef's the taina and Yosef is lashon hara. Chazal say in Erechin daftesovam beis. Because I'll say, "Kol amisaper lashon hara magdil avonos kineged shalosh averos." Somebody sleeps lashon hara, it's magdil avonos kineged shalosh averos. That means lashon hara at a certain level is parallel to avodah zarah gilui ra'ayot shuchas dam. And Chofetz Chaim explains, what does that mean? How can you compare lashon hara? You don't have to give up your life. An anti-Semite says, "Bow down to idols or I kill you." You have to give up your life. I kill somebody, I kill you. You have to give up your life. Other than says, "Tell me lashon hara about Ruvay." Yeah, what would you like to know? Family life, personal life, business life, anything you want. You know, you don't have to give up your life not to speak Lashon Hara. So Chazal say, if you speak Lashon Hara, it's Kineged Gil Averos. So Chofetz Chaim says, roughly, he compares it to the person they have done, the Gimel Averos, Chamuros, and you create Mekatrigi. But if a person, imagine a person, he's Ovid Avodah Zarah, Gilui Ra'ayot Shuchas Damim, but he learns his two halachas a day. He's Makbid on Lashon Hara. He has every Aver in the book, but he Makbid on Lashon Hara. So what happens is you create Mekatrigim. You have a Mekatrig. Every Avera creates a Mekatrig. Creates a prosecutor. But because you're Makbid and Shmiras HaLoshen, the prosecutor has a big piece of tape across his mouth. Can't prosecute you in court. Can you imagine a lawyer coming into a court? The prosecutor comes in, and the judge says, let's hear from you. And the guy, can't talk. He'd be held in contempt of court. Can't talk. That piece of tape, Mr. Plony, could you please take a tape off your mouth? Why? Because you haven't spoken Lashon Hara, you don't give koach to the Mekatrig to be Mekatrig. But the minute one does speak Lashon Hara, he's a Mekatrig himself. Or Mida Kenege Mida, because Ruchu rips the tape off the Mekatrig. So if you've done Avodah Zarah, that person's done Avodah Zarah, they're lurking. They're waiting in the wings. But they got a piece of tape over their mouth. Person speaks Lashon Hara, you've activated them. You've given them the koach. And Melech Chazal say, "Kol amisaper Lashon Hara, margil avonos kineged shalosh averos." What's he got to do with the Yishma Elim? So it says, Sora saw Yishma was mitzachik. Well, Yishma was mitzachik. What's mitzachik? Lashon Hara, Yilui Ra'ayot Shvichus Damim. Yosef HaTzadik, you spoke Lashon Hara, which is kineged Lashon Hara Shvichus Damim. Yilui Ra'ayot Shvichus Damim. Immediately you're going to be sold to the Yishma Elim. Kineged Lashon Hara, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Shvichus Damim. Want to hear something remarkable? The statement in the Gemara in Erechin, "Kol amisaper Lashon Hara, magdil avonos kineged shalosh averos." Know where the statement comes from? Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael. Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael is the one that makes the statement. Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, "Kol amisaper Lashon Hara, magdil avonos kineged shalosh averos." So that's the Yosef gets all. Okay, now, Something was also bothering me. And I saw another Mamish Pella. In Perek Lamed Ches Posag Aleph, the Torah says, by the way, getting a minyan together, just again to tie it into Kass, I was once in the airport, and I think it was in Newark, New Jersey, and we needed a minyan. So a guy came over to me, said, I guess I look Jewish. And a guy comes over to me, and he goes, you know, from Hamishi, he comes over to me, says, do you want to daven mincha? I said, yeah. He said, do you want to get a minyan together? I said, no. No, that not. I was a gabbai once for 10 months in my shul. It was meant to be a 2-year stint, and after 10 months I had to quit. I couldn't take it. So the guy said to me, do you want to get a minyan together? I said, no. So he says, okay, here. I said, I'll be glad to daven with you. I don't want the responsibility. So he runs around. I knew somebody else. It wasn't a mokom she'enish. I knew somebody else would do it. He ran around, got a minyan together. So we're standing there. They had these big clocks in the airport. The big clocks. The only time you find a bigger clock is in a shul. But they had these big clocks in the airport. And we got about 12, 14 people there. And somebody started, the clocks showed 1:30. And we had said, we'll get people together for 1:30 minyan. So the guy says, what do you call it? He goes, somebody starts saying, Ashrei. So the guy says, no, it's not time, it's not 1:30 yet. Everybody says, yeah, look on the clock, it says 1:30. So the guy says, on my clock, it's not 1:30. So somebody says, yeah, but look at that clock. All the airport clocks showed 1:30. The guy says, yeah, but my watch is at 1:30. So I said, yeah, but your watch, he says, but it's my mincha, and we're davening according to my, and the guy got angry. I remember it was hard for me to daven. I was almost laughing so hard at a person. The anger, the chaos gets you so real. And that only reinforced my conviction. Never try getting minyanim together. Let somebody else do it. In any event, the Torah says that Yehuda, after Yosef goes down to Mitzrayim. So the Torah says, I'm sorry, I said Perek Lamed Ches Posag Aleph. Now pay attention very carefully. Torah says, "Vayhiba Esahi Vayerd Yehuda Meisachov Vayet Ad Ish Ad Lomi Ushmo Chira." So that before we talk about Chira is the base of Chira, at least the base of Mikdash. Here you have obviously Yehuda at the darkest point. Yehuda, everything looks bleak. Yosef's going. Yehuda's been taken down. Yet we are now beginning the process of bringing about David HaMelech and Mashiach. Right? Vayet Yehuda's going to meet eventually Tamar Peretz Zerach Peretz. I know eventually is going to come Mashiach from this whole business over here. I was very much bothered. Because it says, "Vayhiba Esahi Vered Yehuda Me'esecha Vayet Ad Ish Adulami Ushmo Chira." Okay, we don't find anything else. I looked in the Meforshim. Nobody says what's an Adulami. He's a businessman. He's a Kenani, a merchant, whatever. What's an Adulami? Where's Vayet Ad Ish Adulami? What's going on here? I looked. I took a concordancia. And looked up the word Adulam. You know where it appears in Nach? David HaMelech hid in a cave called Me'oras Adulam. Vayet, Lashon of Notea, the plant. Vayet Ad Ish Adulami. Yehuda right now is planting the seeds that are going to bring to the Ish Adulami. The Ish Adulami eventually going to be the way. It's too much of a coincidence to be an accident. That in one place in Nach where Adulam appears is David HaMelech hiding in Shmuel. And Shmuel Aleph says David HaMelech is hiding in Me'oras Adulam. But then I found even more, a very Shana Remez. Look at the word Adulami. Ayin is 70. How long did David HaMelech live? 70 years. Dalid, obviously David. Lamed, he was 30 years old when he became king, right? Mem Yud, when he became Melech Yisrael. Adulami is obviously the, who else could it be? And then here, so the remez itself, I don't know about a remez, but it says clearly, Maras Adulam, the Bayet Adish Adulami, who else could it possibly be? Okay. So finally is means before the final, right? It's like I didn't say final and lastly, I said final. Finally, and then we'll get to final and last. What's that? Oh, right. It says that couple of that, right. There you go. Yeah, except the lady making the announcements didn't know the apostle. So the Torah says like this. The Torah says that Perek Lamed Ches Posag Yud, it says like this. Vahi Kedabrei Lov El Yosef Yob Yom Gveret Mrs. Potiphar. The Medrash, by the way, says Zulecha is her name. Zulecha. And I went like, the Zulecha breaks into two words. Zu-lecha. She's off limits. Right? Zu-lecha. That's right. Zulecha. She's a loser. The kids are a loser. So the Medrash says that a matronisa accosted Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta. Said to Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta, come on. Yosef Atzad, Yosef is 17 years old. He's a hot-blooded youth. He's off in a den of iniquity called Egypt. What kind of Baba Maisa are you telling me that he ran away from her? Come on, who are you trying to sell that to? So the matronisa said to Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta, I want to tell you an important thought over here. Fundamental. It's vital for anybody who's involved in outreach in any way, shape, or form. Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta says to her, well, he shows her Maisa Ruvain, Vayishkavetz Bila. He shows her Maisa Yehuda and Tamar. Says to her, listen, Yosef was a youth away from home. He's off on his own. Some preaches at college campus. If he would do the Avera, understandable. It's understandable. Yehuda, Reuven, they're already adults. They're under the jurisdiction of their father. They're in the Jewish community. And for them to do it would be very, very inexcusable. Yet the Torah says openly they did. The Torah says openly. All right, she doesn't know Torah Shel Ba'al Peh. But he reads her the Torah Shebiksav. Torah Shebiksav looks like they did a grievous avera. He says to her, listen, here they are, inexcusable behavior. Yet the Torah goes and tells you, you know what, guilty. So if Yosef would have done it, and it's certainly understandable and to a certain extent excusable, we wouldn't whitewash that. We're not hiding anything. It's clear we're not hiding anything. What's the raya? Yehuda and Reuven. And Reuven is the raya. So if we tell you he didn't do it, we're not drawing whitewash. Obviously he didn't do it. That's what the Medrash says. I noticed, it's very interesting. Take a look at almost any name in the Torah. Almost any name in Torah. Odom Arishon was Chote. Chava was Chote. Avram Avinu said Bamei Eda. Yitzhak, it doesn't say openly in Torah Shavu'al Peh, but it seems that he misjudged Esav, according to those in the Mefarshim. Yaakov Avinu married two sisters. Yaakov Avinu said Rachel. He uttered the klola, not knowing it was Rachel. Moshe Rabbeinu was Kas. Aaron was the Egoza. Miriam was Lashon Hara. Everywhere you look in Torah, every single name, the Torah points out a flaw. The Torah points out a flaw. Isn't that remarkable? Lehavdil elef alfei avdolos. Open a Koran, you won't find any flaws pointed out. And if you do, off goes the head. That's the rule over there. No flaws. Just perfect. Just wonderful. Perfect. Just. It's a perfect 10. In the Torah, everybody's flaws pointed out. You know why? Why? That's Tshuvas HaBetzida. We don't whitewash. We're telling you openly. And therefore, if we tell you where he succeeded, The carryover is into Torah Shebaal Peh. Guys are always asking, you know, sometimes you learn the Gemara, and the Gemara will say something like, Hocha b'maya skinan. Remember, Hocha b'maya skinan, the Gemara tells you, what's the case? And sometimes the Gemara is doing a backwards flip and a somersault to give you an ukimta what the case is talking about. It's like, oh, all right. And you start rolling your eyes. Yeah, but Shuvosa Betzida. Because the Gemara will sometimes say, it's a mishabeshta. Something over here was garbled in the transmission. And sometimes the girls say, Tiyufta, the Rav Ploni Tiyufta. Oh, he's been Tiyufta. Tiyufta, the Rav Tiyufta. The first thing children learn in the Elementsi is Tiyufta, the Rav Tiyufta. Oh, we're willing to admit when there's a defeat. Hagufa Raya, that the rest of it is MS. I remember I once went to a doctor. Had some sort of an infection, and the doctor didn't know which antibiotic to give me. So the doctor picks up a phone, and he calls a specialist right in front of me. But I don't know what to do. What's your medicine? I said, oh, this is a doctor. Nobody should have to go. But if I already have to go to the doctor, this is the guy I want to go to. Because the guy could show in front of me that he doesn't know. I always get nervous when they know too much. Everybody always knows. Like teenagers, right? They know everything. That's when you know you're in trouble. So a guy knows everything. Then you know that you're already, other than Reb Chaim Kanievsky, you know, if somebody knows everything, then you got to start wondering. So a person, I said, that's Tshuvosa Betzida. And it's very important. People always, especially when you're learning Gemara, and Gemara has such a hashpah, but people sometimes they kind of rolling their eyes like, oh, come on, what? I mean, how likely is it? If it was totally unlikely and it was unrealistic, we'd say to you, it's a tiyufta, we'd say to you, it's a bishabeshta, none of it would work. Last point. Final and last point. The at the end of the parsha, and again, there's an answer that everybody hears, I think there's another answer. At the end of the parsha, Yosef is taken to task. V'lo zochar sarah mashkim es Yosef ha'ishkacheyev. Why? Yosef should know why. Because why be should be pteisha tola yivo Yosef lezachro huskak lios osir shtei shonim. Yosef depended on the Sarah Mashke, so Yosef gets punished 2 more years. What's wrong with depending? What's wrong? What did he do wrong? What did Yosef do wrong over here? So the standard answer is, well, he should have had a little bit of, he should have bitachon, and he's lacking bitachon. He shouldn't have made the hishtadlus. Okay, Yosef levi madrigoso, that's a standard answer. The problem with that answer is, where do we ever find there's a problem making hishtadlus? They were all, the Ovos HaKadoshim were roet zon. They made hishtadlus for Parnasa. What's wrong with making hishtadlus? And there's another answer, I think, I don't remember, Sheba the Chazon Ish, Reb Chaim Brisker. You're in prison, I think the Chazon Ish says, you're in prison with an Egyptian who hates you. Do you really think that asking him to remember you is going to help? Asking this guy for a break, do you really think that's going to work? You're in prison with a member of ISIS. And do you think that, oh, by the way, when you get out, you interpreted your dream, buddy. So when you get out, do me a favor, and put in a good word for me. Right? Do you really think that that's the proper Ishtadlus? So Chazon Ish says, I think Chazon Ish says, there's a line. You crossed over into what we call desperation Ishtadlus. Desperation Ishtadlus is inappropriate. Regular Ishtadlus, if we're sitting, you're sitting next to a guy, the guy's in prison with you, somebody who you know likes you, you make Ishtadlus, that's acceptable Ishtadlus. But to go and ask somebody who hates you, that's not acceptable Ishtadlus. Those are the standard answers we give. But I heard one answer, which was, I don't remember where I heard it, where I saw, I didn't say, somebody told me, I found out that this is Taka, rings MS. Hishtadlus, there's no problem. Nothing wrong with making hishtadlus. Make hishtadlus, the guy's leading prayers, you ask him. But when did Yosef ask him? He asked him 3 days before the guy left prison. What are you doing when you say 3 days? If he would have asked him on the last day, nothing's happened until the last day. So on the last day, he's about to leave. You could ask him. What did Yosef do? He preempted the request by 2 days. When Yosef asks him 3 days before he's leaving, what he's really saying is, there's nothing's going to happen between now and the next 3 days. That's a flaw in the bitachon level. He preempted it by 2 days. Oh, you preempted it by 2 days. How does a Kodesh Baruch Hu punish? We see by the Meraglim. Yom Lashona. You preempted it by 2 days. You barely get 2 years extra in prison.